Hi, I'm Maggie.
And I'm Nicole. Welcome to the DAC Dyslexia and Coffee Podcast. We're so happy you could join us. We're both moms and dyslexia interventionists who want to talk about our students and children, what dyslexia is, how it affects our kids, strategies to help, and topics related to other learning disabilities will also be covered in this podcast. Parents are not alone, and we want to give voice to the concerns and struggles we are all having. This is a safe place to learn more about how to help our children grow and succeed in school and the world. Grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the conversation.
Hi, everybody. We're going to start this episode like we always do with the concept of the week. So the concept of the week is our opportunity as practitioners to peel back that curtain and let you into an intervention session. We like to explicitly teach concepts that we are either teaching our students or educating our parents on. So we like to let everybody to the party. Today's concept of the week is letter formation. So letter formation is the ability to correctly produce individual letters of the alphabet that includes the specific rules, right, for the sequence of strokes. So where do we start? My youngest is in kindergarten, right? So they always start letters at the top, 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 never, never, never at the bottom, bottom, bottom. So where do we start? And what direction do we go? We get asked a lot, like, why is this important? Mm-hmm. Why do I have to do this? Is exactly how we get asked it by our students.
Yes, exactly.
What's the point of this? Really mastering this skill is really crucial because we do have to be able to produce legible and efficient handwriting. It does make our writing faster and it establishes a foundation, right, for maybe cursive writing later on, but also just that manual dexterity, right? I mean, I have an OT in this room mm-hmm. that is really, we are losing something in our ability to use our hands
exactly.
when we can't really master those skills, right? So those fine motor skills in general are really important. Mm-hmm. And anytime we have that kinesthetic input of being able to form those letters, that really helps us in instruction. So it's actually pretty critical.
Yes.
There's a reason we spend time on it, you guys. There is.
So welcome to episode 59. Guess what we're talking about? Dyslexia Awareness Month, which happens to be October.
Yay! Welcome to October. I also have to bring up to all you listeners out there, not only is it Dyslexia Awareness Month now, October, it is also the one-year anniversary of Dyslexia and Coffee Podcast.
That is correct, because we started it in Dyslexia Awareness Month.
That's right.
We did.
So,
wow.
Happy birthday, DAC.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Nice. So, what is Dyslexia Awareness Month? And where did it begin?
Yeah, this was a fun one because actually, Nicole and I didn't really know.
Yeah, we just knew it was a month. So
we had to do a little research.
Yes.
So we got to learn something.
We did.
So Dyslexia Awareness Month actually began with a UK movement in 2002. It has since grown into an international event. It has culminated in the International Dyslexia Association, the IDA, designating October as the month to raise awareness in the United States and abroad. This month aims to educate the public and provide resources for students and educators and challenge the stigma associated with dyslexia by promoting understanding of this very common learning disability.
So some key points in the history of Dyslexia Awareness Month. So, we said in 2002, the first official Dyslexia Awareness Month was launched in the UK with associations and individuals organizing local events and raising awareness. And then it became international. So, the initiative then expanded to become a global movement with organizations and communities around the world participating in various awareness activities.
Yeah. So October was chosen by the International Dyslexia Association because historically there was a recognition of a learning disabilities month, actually all the way back to the Reagan administration. So we chose October as the Dyslexia Awareness Month to help people with dyslexia and other related learning differences.
There is also a popular campaign that is usually done. It says Go Red for Dyslexia. So basically, it encourages wearing red to symbolize the unity and celebrate the strength of dyslexia and dyslexia individuals. Oh my gosh, that was hard for me to say.
Yeah. What's kind of interesting is Nicole and I, when we came across that, were like a little surprised.
Yes.
About red, because the most widely recognized ribbon for dyslexia is actually silver. It's a silver ribbon with a knot in the center. Mm-hmm. It symbolizes the need for understanding and the strength of the dyslexic community. So that's generally accepted, right? The silver ribbon is generally represented for support for children with disabilities. And then that kind of that added knot gives specific meaning for dyslexia. A blue ribbon is used by the Dyslexia Scotland to represent their country's awareness efforts. So ribbon colors can vary by organization and region.
Correct. But typically around here, we use the silver.
Yes.
Yeah.
And ADHD uses an orange ribbon.
Which actually October is also ADHD month. So that's why we brought that up.
Just a lot of that overlap. And I think probably historically dating back to October being learning disabilities month.
Correct.
Yeah. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. So the month is typically an educational focus, right? The month's activities focus on educating parents, teachers, in the public about dyslexia to ensure that people with dyslexia receive the necessary resources and support that they need.
Yeah. Another huge part and something very important to Nicole and I and our business is challenging the stigma, right? Dyslexia Awareness Month works to reduce the negative stigma associated with dyslexia and highlights that it's a unique way of processing language, and it does not reflect intelligence.
Yes. And some of the things that, you know, we talk about this usually this month is all those myths that we've talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently asked questions that we've answered. We try to go out in the community and give those to other people. We do presentations. We're going to a literacy conference. We volunteer at different, we're going to volunteer at a trunk or treat event to help just kind of get our name out there and the awareness out there. Since, you know, trick or treat is also in October, which is apparently what is more important to our children. But
how dare they?
Yes. All I can hear about is candy. All I can hear about is trunk or treat. But, so just thinking about, you know, we do some things here, too, during Dyslexia Awareness Month, just to kind of bring it to the forefront of everybody's mind. Not that it's not for our students and their families, but, you know, everybody gets busy.
Yeah.
And it's the time of year to revisit it.
It's a fun way to start conversations with parents and families and students. Something I hear a lot is like, oh, I didn't know that there was a Dyslexia Awareness Month.
Yes.
There is, right? Mm-hmm. There is, it is, it's October. And I think it is important. It's nice to have a time of year that we can use for education and research. Like, yes, we do that all the time.
Correct.
But it's kind of a fun time of year to like push a little bit more into that.
Correct.
Some ways that Dyslexia Achievement Center is celebrating. We are having our first annual golf outing, which is October 6th. Those of you who are in the area, it's at Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee. feel free, go to the website, sign up. But we're very excited about it because it is officially our first big fundraiser. I know we have talked about it on the podcast, but we do have a financial assistance program for individuals who cannot afford intervention. There is a cost, and it's a steep one. And so we do have a financial assistance program, and the proceeds of our golf outing are going to fund that program. So it's special. It's new to us. We're very excited about it. And it's cool that it correlates and is in the month of October.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We also have been doing bracelets every year. I think this is our third or fourth year of doing
them.
They're silver ribbon bracelets that say Dyslexia Awareness Month and our name. And we set them out in all of our locations for families to just pick one up and grab. And so that's been kind of a nice thing to have, just to, if somebody wants to wear it, it's available to them.
Yeah. You know, like Nicole mentioned too, there's a big literacy conference that is coming up that we are a part of. We're one of the sponsors of the event, and it's also educational, right? For our own education.
Exactly.
So yes, it's like spreading the word and getting awareness out there, but then also as a practitioner, right? Filling my own bucket of knowledge.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then doing some presentations. We recently did one for some two-year colleges.
Yes.
Not too long ago. We've been at some community events, like we've been at one of our local athletic clubs, and we were at one of their community events. We're able to kind of talk to other vendors and the people who were coming through about dyslexia. We have another presentation to a rehab group coming up pretty soon. So, I mean, we have some things that we do, and we're always willing to come places to do a presentation if needed, because you know, that's how we get more awareness out there about what we do and who we are and what dyslexia is.
Yeah. All really cool things, you know, and of course, right, all of our listeners are very aware, right, of our podcast. You know, we see this podcast as a really effective way to educate about dyslexia and also other learning disabilities, right? We don't just discuss dyslexia on this podcast, but we like to connect with all kinds of people.
Exactly.
The feedback has been really fun and exciting. You know, a whole year of doing this. We've learned a lot.
We have learned a lot. Yes, definitely.
We've learned a lot, and we just really appreciate that all of you are out there listening to us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Maggie, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, but what do you think people can do themselves during Dyslexia Awareness Month to kind of get the word out to, you know, maybe their friends or their family or, you know, some other activities that they might be able to participate in?
Yeah, I think what a cool question. And I think some of the things that people can do, right? How about share an episode of this podcast? you know, I think a big part of it, one of the ways I think just to fight stigma, which is something I think a lot about. I think a lot about my students. Some of my students come in here and they are proud, right? They're like, nope, this is something that's a part of me. It's not all of, you know, very healthy relationship with their learning difference. And some of my students are just stuck in a really place of, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want to talk about it. I can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think about, okay, what are the ways I can help my students recognize that it is not all the way net negative, right? Like, right. There are some things that are going to be harder. There are some things that are going to be better. That's just the way it is. So I think getting people with dyslexia who are able and willing to talk about their experience is really critical. I think it's one of kind of the best ways, and really research will back me up on this. People understand stories. They understand a personal connection. Right. You know, how do we fight stigma and negativity and bias and all of that? Like, how do we fight that? By telling stories and by interacting with people who have differences. You know, if you've met one person with dyslexia, you've met one person with dyslexia. There, it doesn't reflect the full diversity of that experience. And so I think talking about your own experiences the most you can is like one of the best ways to start getting the word out there. It does always kind of blow me away, right? We believe 1 in 5 people have dyslexia, and it's still so misunderstood.
Exactly.
We're talking about 20% of the population, mm-hmm. and it is still, I often still get asked, what is dyslexia?
Exactly. That's true.
Yeah.
It's why we like to do the education part of
exactly.
this. Exactly. Because we do hear that every day.
We do. You know, and kind of thinking back to frequently asked questions, right? It's either people have really no experience hearing the word dyslexia, mm-hmm. Or there is just that pervasive myth that it's only this one thing. Like, oh, people with dyslexia can't read. Whoa.
Right.
You know, it reminds me that we have a lot of work to do.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. What about you? I'm going to turn your question around on you.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Well, I mean, I think it depends on your level, too, right, of mm-hmm. knowledge. Like, for us, you know, going out in the community and talking makes a lot of sense. But even if, like, you know, one person mm-hmm. who seems a little bit confused, maybe just talking to that one person over coffee.
Yeah.
You know, take them out to coffee and talk about, you know, what's been going on and what you're learning about it. And maybe share the podcast again. We can answer some of those questions for you. But, you know, sometimes it's just those one-on-one connections that we make
yeah.
can really bring that awareness forward, because it makes it very personal.
Agree.
So I think that's very much up there. And then I also think, you know, just talking to your kids, especially like I have 2 out of the 3 that have dyslexia mm-hmm. and just, you know, hey, this is the month that we kind of celebrate you in a way.
Right.
Right. And, is there something you want to talk to somebody about or go do something or, cause sometimes, you know, the person that has it
right
wants to do something about it.
Yeah.
And you don't know that unless you ask.
Yeah, exactly. It's that open lines, right? Open lines of communication and just sharing, right? Sharing experiences,
right.
Mm-hmm. I think could be one of the most effective ways.
Correct.
Right? Not everybody has the funds to jump into a cause, right?
Right.
And that's certainly one way, right? Any listeners out there, we absolutely will accept funds for our financial assistance program, right?
Right.
It is one of the ways we are trying to be out there, is raising funds.
Right.
But I think even more importantly, it's that building connections and building, building it into the fabric of our community.
Right. Something that we're doing that we signed up for a Chamber of Commerce, yeah. And we're doing one-on-one meetings with other businesses. And honestly, it's been eye-opening. And yeah, it's one of those things of, nope, they have no idea what we do.
I think sometimes I get really, and I think this might just be how my brain works, but sometimes I get so tunnel vision for what I think people know.
Because I know it.
Because I know it, and I've read it, and, I see.
I read the research.
Exactly. And it's like, well, actually, they didn't read the same thing you read.
They don't.
And gauging people's level of interest, right? This is my all day, every day.
Exactly. So why would other people want to read it?
Right.
Probably not as much as we would. Because, maybe and I kind of like research anyways.
Yes.
So, yeah, we like to find that research. Not everybody does like to write. Even people who are in what we do.
Exactly.
Don't like to read research. Because it's not always easy to read.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for this month.
Me too.
I think it's really fun to be able to share with our listeners kind of a little bit of the history and why we personally think it's important.
Right.
And I think our challenge for our listeners is, spread the word.
Yeah, I agree. So, Maggie, what's happening outside of dyslexia?
Oh my goodness. My old standby, right? I think these poor listeners have heard me say it a billion times, but just too many things. We're deep into school, right? School's been in session now 3 weeks, and we're starting to get the homework coming home. It is very interesting watching the differences between my two kids, right? My second grade son will do basically everything in his power to avoid having to do what he has to do, which right now is a very appropriate amount. All he really is responsible for in second grade is reading daily. That's it. Where my daughter, who is in kindergarten, officially doesn't have anything until next week they start having to do daily reading, right? But it's kindergarten, so they have to build up some skills first.
Right, exactly.
But she will come to me every single day with her, reading. Like, she creates homework for herself, you guys.
Aww.
Yeah. It is adorable, but also very overwhelming. It's like, one, I have to beg to do what he's supposed to do. And one, I'm like, you're creating so much work for yourself that I'm actually a little, worried about it. Like, it's a little bit like, okay, I don't know if this is actually a healthy relationship with academics. Like, I don't know what to do. But also, she's me, so I don't know about that. What's going on with you?
Well, I mean, I think kind of funny. Our school does a trunk or treat every year. This year, my middle schooler, who I love very much so, decided to be in student council. So every family that's in student council, hint, family, has to now have a trunk, right, for our trunk or treat, which is fine. We've been volunteering every year for a while, but now it's kind of mandatory. So, unfortunately, my daughter, who I love dearly, wouldn't take anything out of anybody else's thoughts on what it should be. So we are going to be a bakery. And, of course, mom and dad are not the cooks. We are part of the decorations. And so is her siblings, which has not gone over very well. And just so you know, we're donuts and a cupcake and a cookie. And yeah, it's...
Oh, man. Oh, gonna need pictures of that.
No, I don't think so.
Things we do for these children of ours.
Yes.
Seriously.
Seriously.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, the things we do for these kids.
Yep.
Yikes.
So that's what I'm anticipating having fun at and kind of not really.
And also not. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. That's a big bucket of my life, right? Like, okay. Things we thought would be fun and then didn't actually turn out to be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a whole thing. Yes. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Please follow us on social media and reach out if you have any questions or when you would like us to discuss a topic. If you do like our show, please be sure to follow and then give us a rating on your favorite podcast player. That's how we get to reach more listeners and we get to help more families. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.